Jesus Christ, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification, be eternal glory forever. Amen. The word of the Lord forms a portion for our sermon text this morning, comes to us from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 5 to 15. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you, before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then when he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and struck the water, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also had struck the water, it divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophet who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." They came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. This is the word of God. Congregation may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. It's hard to believe that we are already in the month of June. Last weekend was, of course, Memorial Day weekend, and it's nice, of course, to have a three-day weekend to remember the troops that defend our country. But Memorial Day also marks the unofficial beginning of summer. Summer does not, in fact, start for another 3 weeks, but it is often viewed as the beginning of summer, that is Memorial Day. The days are longer, and no doubt the temperatures will surely rise. But this time of year also brings other things, means other things to other people. For instance, students. Out here, graduation takes place a little bit later in Washington than it does where I'm from in the Midwest. But now is the time when people start being done with school. For some, it means graduating from school and leaving the place to go on to a new career, perhaps, or maybe furthering their education elsewhere. But graduation can be bittersweet. Perhaps you might have experienced this with your graduation. It is, of course, a joyful time. You just went through 4 years at either high school or college, and you should be glad that you have graduated. You're finally done. But it also can be sad. Those who remain at the school might miss your presence, and you might miss them. Also, there's a certain level of comfort that you gain going through a schedule that you know, and once you graduate, you're very soon going to be doing something completely different. Also, while it's nice that you are moving on, there is this uncertainty that comes with it. You're leaving a place that could have been home for you. But you can't, of course, just stay there forever. You need to graduate. Departing is part of graduating and is part of moving on and growing up. We see before us today a certain departure in our text. It is, of course, Ascension Sunday. This is the day we remember Jesus rising into the heavens and leaving us. In our sermon text, we see a different ascension, though, one of the prophet Elijah. No doubt, when it came to both ascensions, provided a time of bittersweetness. For the disciples, Jesus was gone. for Elisha, his master and mentor Elijah, was gone too. And while it was sad, it provided them an opportunity. It's one that we have before us here today. We can stand around looking up at the sky, feeling sad about the departures, or we can pick up the mantle and carry on the mission they started. The gospel succeeds. It has won the ultimate victory, and in that victory, we continue to do what is provided for us to preach Christ crucified to all nations. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Maker and Redeemer. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." It was Elijah's time to go. Elijah was a prophet. Not only just a prophet, but perhaps one of the greatest prophets ever sent by God. God sent him to the people who, despite being his chosen people, were turning to idol worship and to Baal worship. And perhaps one of the best known stories about Elijah is his confrontation with the Baal worshippers. On Mount Carmel, they had a contest. Who is the real God? Is it Baal or Jehovah? They both had sacrifices on altars. And the 450 priests of Baal cried out and prayed to Baal day and night. He did nothing. Well, Elijah drenched his sacrifice in water several times, prayed to his God, and fire fell from heaven. All throughout the history of Israel, Elijah the prophet was one of the most highly esteemed prophets in its history. But at the time when Jesus walked the earth, Elijah was very high esteemed, even higher than Jesus himself. There was a rumor based on a prophecy and based on how Elijah left earth, that he would return. There was even a rumor, some said that Jesus was Elijah himself. Of course, these people were off about this. Elijah would return, but it would be in John the Baptist in the spirit of Elijah. But yet it was Elijah's time to go. This was apparently well known. The group known as the Sons of the Prophets knew Elijah was about to be taken away. They pestered Elisha about this, Elijah's student and successor. Elisha told them that he was aware of this, commanded them to keep silent. He was well aware he was going to leave. These last moments with his master were precious. He didn't want them ruined by their chatter. Our sermon text paints a very interesting point. We all have to leave this world at some point or another, but Elijah's transition into heaven was very different. He would not experience physical death, a deathbed like most of us will. Instead, he was taken to heaven personally by the Lord. And it happened as they continued on and talked, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now that is quite an exit. It was because of Elijah's special relationship with the Lord that he left in this manner. And you, of course, can see why this text is relevant to Ascension Day. Jesus' ascension into heaven was very similar, like Elijah's. The similarities between Jesus and Elijah are quite striking in and of themselves. Both Jesus and Elijah were brought the dead back to life. Both men were heavily persecuted at various points in their life. Elijah faced all kinds of persecution from Baal worshippers and from famously Queen Jezebel and King Ahab. Jesus, of course, also faced opposition and persecution. Both men were, you could say, ahead of their time. Elijah was relentlessly persecuted throughout his life, even to the point of despair. And yet after he left earth, he was highly regarded, highly esteemed by all. The same was true about Jesus. Both men had followers, but both were viewed very negatively by powerful people. And yet both men had to leave. For Elijah, it was simply time. For Jesus, he needed to leave as well. Jesus and Elijah no doubt had similarities, but not even Elijah to Jesus Christ. Jesus asked his disciples, saying, "What do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, of course, was better than Elijah or Elisha or any prophet ever since. Why? Because Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. No one else could ever do the things that Jesus did. I'm not talking about the miracles that Jesus performed. Other men of God, of course, perform miracles. Elisha and Elijah both perform miracles. But Jesus did the impossible. He was both true God and true man. He lived a perfect life here on earth, then he went to pay for the sins of the world at the cross. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," the payment for our sins was 100% complete. Other prophets and apostles did many great signs and wonders through God, of course, but only Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to die for us. You could say that both Elijah and Jesus had to graduate from this world. Jesus died, but then he rose triumphantly from the dead. The salvation of the world was finished. It was won. Jesus accomplished it. But even though he defeated death, he was not going to just stay here forever. Both of these men were finished. They had graduated from all the things God needed to get done with them. They both ascended into heaven to be with the Lord. This was a sad and uncertain time for both the apostles and for Elisha. But it was also a time that these men had been prepared for, whether they knew it or not. And so it was when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Elisha was not Elijah, no matter how close their names look. And Elisha knew this. He followed this man around ever since the day the Lord called him to be a prophet, and he knew what he had to go through. He knew how hard it was to be a prophet of the Lord. And it all, of course, led to this moment. When it was time for the two men to finally be separated, Elijah told him to ask for something before they were separated. And he said, "A double portion of your spirit." That double portion concept, I think, is kind of uncommon to us, but it was common all throughout Israel. Typically, it is an inheritance term. You see, the oldest heir would get a double portion of his father's inheritance when he died, when everyone else would just get a single portion. You could see then why it would be good to be the heir. But no doubt it came with extra responsibilities. Elisha was asking that he be able to be like Elijah was. Elijah acknowledges here that what he is asking for is indeed a hard thing. But Elisha did receive what he asked for, and the proof was that he saw Elijah taken up into heaven. The disciples also witnessed Jesus' ascension. Our epistle reading describes this event, and they didn't really know how to even react after Jesus was ascended into heaven. All they could do was just stand there, stare at the sky in almost disbelief. They needed angels to break them up, to snap them out of it. "Men of Galilee, why are you sitting here? Go into Jerusalem." The thing that must have been hard for both the disciples and for Elisha was that at the time, these departures, even though they were sad, they were a good thing for them. Elisha now had a great opportunity to put all that he had learned from Elijah into practice. He did, too, accomplish great things through God in Israel. Likewise, just like Elisha received the spirit of Elijah, the disciples would receive the gift of the Spirit. 10 days after the ascension, the disciples, the apostles, would be in Jerusalem for the Pentecost, where the gift of the Holy Spirit was given. Everything Jesus trained these men would finally be realized. And that's the thing, of course, about our God. Not only does he just save souls, he also calls us to spread that soul-saving message to others. He prepares us for our future. Just like you would attend school to prepare for your career, you get schooled in the Bible early in your life. And that's why Christian education is so important. It is preparing us to be ambassadors for the gospel. And yet, at the same time of these ascensions, there were uncertainty. Elisha wasn't sure if he'd get that gift that he had asked for until, that is, he saw him go up. Sometimes the uncertainty of the future can be too much to bear. Just think of the disciples when Jesus ascended. They had just experienced that devastating separation from their Lord when he was arrested and when he was crucified on a cross. But then, 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. They were overjoyed. They could not believe their eyes that they were seeing him. But then, right before he left, right before Jesus ascended, that is, the disciples asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Elisha knew Elijah was leaving. It did not seem like these men fully knew what was going on yet. They didn't understand what God's plan was. God had a plan, and he would carry it out by using these seemingly clueless men to do so. Jesus was not, of course, going to restore the glory of Israel, not the nation of the earthly nation of Israel. These men, though, would restore the glory to Israel, that is, the spiritual Israel. They would do what Jesus instructed here, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God, through these men, would bring about the church, by whom many souls would become saved and become a part of the commission. We too have been made a part of that. The commission is still our mission today. That is why Christian education is vital to the church. Not only will it save our children's souls, but it will also equip them to spread that life-saving message to others. Here we have Elisha literally taking up the mantle. Our sermon text is, of course, where that phrase comes from, to pick up a mantle, the mantle, or to take up the mantle. And this phrase means to assume a role of leadership that someone else once had. I'm not sure about you, but when I think of mantle, I think about a fireplace or somewhere where you put your Christmas stockings. Those two words are different, though. Mantle and mantle, the L and the E switch. That the fireplace is one word. This is a completely different word. A mantle is basically a cloak or a robe. This cloak of Elijah, his mantle, played a pivotal role in this reading. It was the only thing that was left behind from Elijah. It also was representative of the passing of the torch, if you will, the passing of the ministry from Elijah to Elisha. When Elijah called Elisha to be a prophet, how did he do it? He put a cloak on him. It was also with this cloak that Elijah and Elisha got to where they were, standing in the middle of the Jordan, but yet on dry ground. Elijah ascended into heaven. Elisha tore his clothes, picked up Elijah's mantle, and then went back. The conclusion of all those curious onlookers says it all. The spirit of Elijah rests upon Elisha. And of course, this is what God does. He provides. He provided Elijah with eternal rest. He provided Elisha with the same gift that his mentor had. He provided the people a replacement for the prophet. Elisha, of course, would have a big cloak to fill, but he would do so with the help of God. And of course, that is what Jesus was doing here on Ascension Day before he left as well. The disciples thought, maybe he's going to start back up his ministry. But it was already finished. He had completed the salvation of the world, but the world still needed to hear about it. And that is what the disciples would do. That is where they would come in. But Jesus wouldn't just leave them. He would provide. Because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus provides us with the Holy Spirit to help us carry out our daily lives, our missions. If our mission depended on us alone, well, it'd be very doomed. That's the power of the gospel. It is the power to change hearts of disbelief to hearts of faith. Making disciples does not happen by us being persuasive, speaking elegantly. Rather, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have been given a task that literally accomplishes itself. Preach the gospel, and the gospel by the Spirit will do all of the work. And Jesus wasn't abandoning his disciples by leaving. He was going back to the throne of God to plead for sinners like us there on our behalf. Yes, his physical presence would be gone, would no longer be seen, but he was not gone. It's quite the opposite. He is always with us. The ascension was not a departure. Rather, the ascension was Jesus going to prepare a place for us. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is never gone. The Lord will provide. So pick up the provided mantle of the gospel. Those who came before us preached Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. Those who come after will preach Christ crucified. This is the succession of the gospel. It passes down from generation to generation, continuing to save sinners from their sin. And the gospel will succeed. This will have nothing to do with us, but it will have everything to do with Jesus. We are provided with an opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. The Lord truly does provide. Our graduation days vary. I'm not talking about the graduation days in the Midwest compared to that of the Pacific Northwest. I'm not talking about high school graduation compared to college graduation. Rather, our graduation from this earth truly varies from person to person. We do not know how long we have here. We do not know when we are done with this world. So how do we go on? Preaching the gospel. Preach it in season and out. Preach it to your children so they can preach it to theirs. This is how we graduate. And yes, graduation is bittersweet. We're sad to leave and yet excited to start a new chapter in our lives. I'll just imagine the graduation that will take place from this earth. We leave behind these broken bodies of sin and receive perfect ones instead. We get to reign forever with our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. There'll be no hint of bittersweetness on that day. Rather, it'll just be pure joy. That is the effect of the gospel. The gospel succeeds. It sends broken sinners like us to eternal paradise to be with Jesus forever. Amen.